Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. You have tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. No, you haven't. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I just introduced the wrong show. This is Veronica Entwistle. As I said before, I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and the energies on the planet are really strange right now, somewhere between the big shifts in the moon and the eclipse and the sunspots. And our own reverberations afterwards, because it takes the sunspots quite a while to kind of actually impact us. I'm talking to a lot of people who are going blah, 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 inside because the energy is sort of shaking things up. It's blasting a lot of technological things. The good news is it also is moving stuff through the belly. The collective is flapping the sheets of the subconscious. And a lot of old flotsam and jetsam from past beliefs and past programs is coming up sometimes uncomfortably in our faces. Because remember, when we release information or when we recognize old programs and beliefs that are hidden within us, it very often runs through our body and eclipses what we think we know in our wonderfully refined mind and intellect. Isn't it interesting how that works? So let me reintroduce the show. You have tuned into Radiance by Design. So even though we're having the crazy chaos of shifting energies right now, you can choose how you radiate in the world. And on my show with my guides and angels, very often what we really like to do is call up and really become aware of various past programs and limiting beliefs and so on that are holding themselves in us or hiding in our subconscious energetically. So as they come up, they might bop our energies around, but as you call them up and feel them, bring them through consciously and hand them over, they will morph, they will transform, and you will have the access of much higher frequencies, which then you radiate out into the world, and it makes it easier for you to create the higher level consciousness creations that you really want to do. So that's what this show is all about. It's all about teaching you meditations and streaming information from the guides and my own abilities as well. But I have to say, mostly I count on the high presence to run through me and keep me growing and changing as well. And I love it when you call in. When you call in, everything that you ask about, of course we run energy on what you ask about, but there's always other listeners that are touched by what you talk about. I know I'm touched by what you talk about as well. Not just talk, but try to bring your questions to the point fairly quickly. And as we answer those and shift through those, you become higher frequency, but so do the other listeners. I'm really interested in several things today. One, we're going to talk about defensiveness again and how that really holds our limitations in place. In the second show, Paradigm Shifters, we have Asha Praver, and she's really interesting. She's been a devotee of Swami Kriyananda, who used to be known as J. Donald Walters, and he's a devotee of Yogananda. Most of you have read probably Autobiography of a Yogi or certainly heard about it. And she talks a lot about the book that she's written about Swami Kriyananda, which is a whole series of stories of how he handles difficult situations among people. And the other thing that she's talking about that I want to talk about on Radiance by Design is developing conscious community. Now, you and I don't live in the same backyard. My daughter, when she was little, used to laugh because Mr. Rogers would sing, "You're my neighbor," and she'd giggle and go, "She thinks he lives on my street." And I'd say, "No, it's a media neighborhood." And you and I have that just like Mr. Rogers. We're all in the same community, and we're developing a better and better vibrational community consciously through our processes of shared meditations, shared questions and answers, releasing, releasing, and releasing, and cultivating higher thought processes and consciousness. Not just one of us is doing it. I'm not the only one here working on it. I'm always working on it. But all of us are. And as we do that, we set up frequencies in common, and we set up conscious community, conscious spiritual community, to truly support one another. So I'd love your feedback on that. And I know as you call in and so on, it is feedback. Many, many people tell me how much they've learned from this person or that person about themselves, because really there's nobody else to work on out there on the planet besides ourselves. And that's what this show is dedicated to, you and me. It's all about you, and I love it when we work together. Now, the guides taught us a long time ago to do these wonderful sacred geometric meditations, so we're going to start off with that. And after that, we're going to discuss defensiveness and whether it works to actually defend ourselves. My guides say, no, it doesn't, that when we understand, truly understand how defensive we are and what we're defending, then that defense, which is just an energy program in our body, mind, and it might be lineage, it might be really ancient, it might be a bazillion years old, it may be part of the collective, it may be just your own pet defense, it does not matter. As we go in and feel it and truly assess what it is we're defending, guess what happens? It begins to lighten up and it begins to release itself. Now, you don't want to go around stark naked, I don't think. I don't think we can be a totally undefended being. But we can lighten up our defenses and let the room deep within us allow much higher consciousness and higher impulses to come through. And it's an interesting subject because followed by discussions of Kriyananda and how he handles it, it's really precious, his approach to it, which is a very consciously loving approach, recognizing the higher in everyone and really trying to release his own reactiveness to it. So I suppose that's a good way of looking at our subject, which is about defensiveness, releasing the defense, and letting the deep, amazing, divinely inspired aspect of yourself come through and really create unlimitedly. Whoa! I bet you we can do that in 1 hour. What do you think? So let's join you. We're going into the wonderful workshop called the Sacred Geometric Meditations. Oh my gosh, Bob, you're ascending already. Take a deep breath or two. And close your eyes as you're driving. And now see above you a golden ball. It's a beautiful, radiant golden ball. And see below you, maybe it's 2 to 4 miles above you. And see below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball, and from the upper golden ball, running straight down through your spine, run a radiant filament of light. Good. Can you feel that? I often feel a buzz when I do that. Now from the upper golden ball to about your waist, drop a four-sided pyramid, and have that be about 20 feet away from your body at the waist. And then the same thing upside down with the point hitting the lower golden ball, and the upside-down pyramid matches the bottom of your right-side-up pyramid. Now you should have 4 strong points in your octahedron and stick a golden ball on each of those. And now whilst you're inside of the octahedron, create a crystal ball. Oh my, it's beautiful. I always see amazing colors when we do this. The outside edges of the crystal ball nudge the inside edges of your structure. Just take a look. I like to see the structure is gold, gold, gold. I see mostly the lines are gold. And then this ball is many, many resonant and beautiful radiant shades, spectral shades. And inside of that, there's you let's be in the spinning disc today. There's you in a crystalline disc. And now spin and spin and spin in this disc. Spin and spin and spin. Go faster. You can really feel it, can't you? And whilst you're spinning, look in front of you and on the big crystalline grid in front of you. Let's see our first movie in the movie you want to be the star and actually feel what it is you're doing. My first one is always about me, my me, 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 and my journey, and I just want to become much more loving and much more multidimensional. What is it you want for yourself in your own process right now? And see it, feel it, experience up there on the first movie on your grid there. And now into the next one. What's a project that you want to create? And actually, we go back to the first one, just wrap it in light quickly so it gets to stew away there in its high frequency cocoon. And now the second one is a project that you're doing or you want to do, you're in the middle of doing or you're thinking about doing. It can be anything from a home and family relationship to an amazing business or whatever it is you're wanting to create. And while you see yourself right in the middle of that project and see the resources coming to you easily and effortlessly to create the project, sustain that project, and be the nucleus of more resources that come from the project. And so that everything's really contributing to the whole. Now, the art of doing these things is you want to be in these pictures. You don't want to just think about it. That's it. Very good. I can just feel the buzzing and the light in it. And now wrap it in light. And now we're calling in the Galactic Healing Room, the Galactic Healing Center. And the first thing is we have a wonderful team of beings of love, truth, consciousness, and evolution. And then we have a healing table or chair, whatever, there in the first scenario. And you lie down on that table. You're the one who pops in, flops down. Heal me. You can be playful. The team really has a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And then you can lie down and ask for healing on something specific, some physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual aspect of your nature that's a specific thing. Or you can just ask for healing and what is it that you need or what is it they think you could do well with, whichever way you want to do it. Mm-hmm. It's funny when I'm having some fun with myself because I seem to sit up. I'm refusing to lie down for some reason in my vision here. And I'm being very funny with them. Probably because I'm asking them a lot of questions right now. Okay, what are you doing with them? Are you lying down? Good work. And then ask them if they've got any advice for you, any suggestions. Okay. All right. Good. Now wrap that in light so that it can stew and you can have more healing than has been done so far if you need to. And now we set up, we get the team to, the healing team that you and I use here to replicate themselves around a fresh table and call in someone you know needs healing. I'm calling in a 3-year-old girl named Samantha. Mm-hmm. She's having surgery as we speak, but they don't know what's wrong with her. So we're going to, I will not say what I'm seeing here. However, what we're going to do is have the spiritual support and the energetic support. And we're going to fill her little body with healing light. And ask them to do what they can do. Now, one of the things when we're doing healing in the healing center is always ask a question, and I forgot to do this with myself, but ask the question of what it is that this person is needing to learn. Is this something that she or he is engaged in because of her own soul journey? Is there something that needs to be learned here? Because when you do a lot of healing work, you can make a huge impact on people, but if they haven't got the message, if it's not a complete activity, like perhaps finishing a kind of a karmic thing or clearing something, some emotional history out of the body or something, you usually get some kind of answer. So I'm asking about this little girl. Are we allowed to help with her healing? Is there something that she needs to complete? And I'm getting that there is something she needs to complete, but there is a lot of healing coming to her. Mm-hmm. And so when we ask for that kind of information, we say, how can I help her, or is it possible to help her find what it is she's looking at or looking for at a higher level? Yeah. And it is. And so I'm showing an interaction on her higher self level as if she's a fully grown woman and she's talking to a fully grown man and they're having some kind of interaction about what the learning curve is, and it's not my business, certainly, to put on global radio. But let's do that and let their higher selves talk about that until they seem to have a resolution. And then we trust and we'll wrap this scenario in light and send that along, and the team will work with them as long as it's necessary. And then the last one, we're going to let the set up the healing team again and set up the fresh table or chair. And who wants to come in this time? Okay. And so who's coming into yours? Pay attention. Now remember, sometimes it's a surprise and ask if you have the right to work with this person. But when he pops in like this by his own volition, usually, of course, he wants that done. Mm-hmm. My friend Peg told me that recently when she was doing this, she had like 35 people show up, none of whom she knew. So she just set the tables up and did it anyway. Because we don't do it. The teams, our healing supports, do it. But we facilitate a lot of it because we're all one. We're all connected. All right. Funny, I'm pulling a lot out of this one's second chakra. Huge blobs of dark stuff. So you just follow. You don't have to be the leader and decide what has to be done in advance. Good work. And now wrap that one in light as well. And then we'll do our political one. Again, my guides keep reminding me to ask all of us to be sending this administration a great deal of light. There's tremendous illumination coming up on the planet. All the ways that we've been kind of deceived by what the my guides and angels call the oligarchy, which when we looked it up says the rulership of many by a few for selfish and greedy purposes. And what I've realized is that there's just, and we've heard this for a long time, especially for the last couple of hundred years and maybe a lot longer, there are few families and there are few people that are organized and really do control a lot of our society. They control the economics, things like poverty. Some even say the weather. I don't know. I just know that there's an awful lot of economic control being illuminated and deceptions being illuminated, even by the press, which I used to mistrust a lot, but there's a lot of it showing up in the press. Anyway, I don't mistrust all of it now. I think some of the stuff is lighting up even in the press, okay? So there's some big changes coming up on the planet. So everybody watch for what's happening with Congress and with Cheney and so on. And now, and let's send light to Obama, because as the guides have warned us that just like you and I have each other's energy running through, that it's really hard for him to keep the higher consciousness because he's being lobbied and influenced by people who have more of the oligarchy drives deep within. So if we want to be an evolving species, and remember we're headed up to 2012, which is supposed to be a time of incredible change, and we know that the vibrations are moving faster and faster, the illuminations are happening, and the apparently there's more than one Madoff now, right, Bob? And there's the crumbling of a lot of financial empires. So the possibility of growing a more conscious species is available now. I don't know if we're going to make it, but I believe in that. Mm-hmm. So let's see Obama, and let's see the social changes and the evolution of our species. Let's just see it all and see the hot spots. Let's see the light develop in our chest, and it's a bright pink light, and send that ribbon of light out to harmonize and support Mr. Obama and the administration, and have it also flow, this very stunning river of bright, bright light moving around the hot spots on the planet where people are having battles that have gone on for 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years amongst themselves. And see that being healed. Send them love, send compassion, send pink light, an amazing bright frequency of pink. And have it hit all of the places that seem to be creating danger, rattling sabers and so on around the world. Have it roll through places where there are many, many ill people. And have it absolutely swaddle the world. And let's see it penetrating the media, which is marketing fear on a mass level, and that's a great way to keep us enslaved. So let's see that pink light penetrating the minds and the pens and the computers of those beings that are perpetrating this massive fear-based stuff. Let's just flood them with light. Let's kiss them with kindness. That's it. And just flood it and just see this amazing uplifting stuff coming through the media. Some of it's happening. Some of the internet's pretty exciting. Of course, both sides are there, aren't they? All right, so let's come back. Let's have the pink light come back into your chest. That's the light of self-love, the light of evolution, the light of expansion. And jump into your spinning disc again, and then spin and spin and spin and spin and spin, and come back here and now into our time and space. And here we are, we're going to talk about defensiveness. It's really interesting, isn't it? What I was talking about when we were talking politics is really that it's a marketed defensiveness that we have. We've got defensiveness in all aspects of our species, don't we? You're not the only one that's defensive, or I should say I'm not the only one that's defensive. In any given moment, all of us are really defensive about stuff. Isn't that amazing? And what does defense do? It keeps holding us against. So if it's holding us against, what's included there as well is holding us against our own natural light. Because what are we protecting? Take a minute here and look inside and ask yourself what you're protecting. Can you find any defense in yourself? Sure. What makes you defensive? Might want to take a few minutes and jot some things down that make you defensive. We did this last week, and I think it was my guest who said, I still am looking, making my list of defenses because I have so many. And it's true. And we have a lot as a species. We're trying to hold on to, for example, our humanity. We're trying to hold on to our, identity. What's your identity, you know? Who do you think you are? Boom. You can get very defensive about that. And I was asking the guys, like, we're a defensive species. If you look at even how we talk about ETs, we're busy to defending ourselves. We say, well, they wouldn't want to land here because we'd kill them. Why? Because they're always in defense. And you can't really go around without any defense at all, can you? But the defense can come through our light. It can come through our consciousness as opposed to coming through our contraction. So I asked the guys, I said, well, what is it that we are? We're defensive, and we're trying to defend our identity, but my identity isn't really who I am, is it? I'm something. I'm a stream of consciousness coming through. I'm potential coming through. I'm all these different things just coming through, and every moment has got some potential in it that maybe I can explore. But if I defend, if I spend my time defending, my evolutionary quantum leaps might not be quite as big, right? So the guides are saying this, that there are issues like, for example, truth. All right. As we begin to understand more and more about being multidimensional, truth itself changes, doesn't it? And I know I've said this before, and a lot of you recognize this in your own lives, that the stuff that we learned as facts and truths when we were in high school way back in the 50s, for example, are no longer facts. They aren't truths anymore. Good, you called in. I'll finish this wonderful long soliloquy after we've talked to you. You're on the air.
Deb in Portland.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I don't really like you to stop your long soliloquies. I love them.
Okay.
But I just love them. I have a question for you, though, about defenses.
Yeah.
And it's that you know, so many of us think and work on consciousness around the things that make us defensive. And the place where, and I've been thinking about this a lot since last week when I listened to the first show you did on this, and the place it seems I still carry the most defensiveness is around my sense of who this man is that I was married to for 23 years and have been away from for 16 years. But it's still, the defensiveness still comes up because he continues to throw his emotional abuse at my beloved child. So I don't know how I can do it in my head. You know, I can work on forgiveness and everything, but I'm not there. Forgiveness isn't happening, and every time another event happens around something he says or doesn't do, or you know the story, then it all comes back up again, and I just want to hurt him. I mean, in all honesty, I want him out of. I want him off the planet. I mean, it's that bad. I'm just being brutally honest here. I want him away from her.
Well, what's really interesting to me, I want to just say this because it's a perfect example, Deb, and I did say that the callers very often teach all of us, and that's what this is going to do, right? Because this fellow, you've got tremendous soul journey stuff with him. And when I see, when you sort of hesitated, I can't remember what the word you said, but you started with a sound. I was going, stomach, stomach, stomach. There's something about the soul journey with this fellow where he's got some of your power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of huge soul journey experiences. And so does your daughter. Your daughter's involved with that as well. So I'm saying that it's hard. Here's what the guides are saying, that it's really difficult to work on it that way. You almost have to embrace it and make peace with it inside. I don't mean tolerate his abuse of your daughter. I don't mean that. I mean, way down deep inside, and I can feel like I'm going to start burping, excuse me, everybody, but that's sort of what happens when we get aligned with somebody's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that he, you're better to keep blessing him because it's the defensive resistance that keeps activating the future reactions. Like he, at some unconscious level or subconscious level, is saying, well, I've got her going, you know. If you nailed him with that, he would deny it flatly.
How is she involved in it? What is her involvement, and what can I do to help her?
Well, I think she betrayed him. It looks like she pulled away from him and deserted him in another life. And that they were...
She deserted him?
Yeah. And
it feels like he deserted her. That's interesting.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because they show her just wandering away and him being, like, absolutely devastated because he was mean and in charge of her. And she got away from him. She just walked away somehow. Looks like they're all in long... You're in long dresses and so on. But she had a power over his dominance of her in another life. Now, if we go back even farther, and I know it isn't linear, but it looks like it right now, he's had a huge control over her, and she's gotten out of it several times. Because when I went back even farther, I go, ooh, it's another version of that. He looks like she was enslaved by him, and she got away from him. This is he's a big soul, meaning his journey is not little wimpy mom and pop stuff. It's more like really dynamic leadership stuff. And she was twice, I see, that she was very much his slave kind of woman.
Mm-hmm.
But she got away two times.
But she gets away. This time she's also basically finally told him to stay away from her life in a very gracious way. But the thing is, she gets away on the material plane, but she doesn't get away on the psychic and emotional plane because she's devastated inside by the fact that her own father would have so completely tried to annihilate her emotionally and also just be so withholding in every way. And so she doesn't, you know, and then that comes back and nails, I allow that to nail me because it just kills me to watch her feeling so devastated emotionally by, she would like to have a father, everyone would. I mean, a lot of us have been in these kinds of situations, but what's the next step here for either one of us in terms of bringing more healing into this, either Catherine or I?
Yeah, so, you know, what's interesting about this is the defense that comes up isn't going to do a thing about that soul bondage, is it?
Is it going to do a thing about what?
The soul bondage, you see. The soul bondage, which is that attachment on a cellular level, that being defensive right now isn't going to help. So what they're showing is if you can absolutely just keep blessing him and blessing him, it's like those strings will begin to release. And there's not much you can do to save her. Just a sec here. There's not much you can do to save her in a really conscious, linear way, but you can kind of bless him out of it because she's going to raise her frequency and be beyond him. There's a man coming up in her life who is going to absolutely honor her, and she's going to use that as a tool. I don't mean in a cold way because she's very, very loving. She's going to use it as a tool to refund and recreate the male archetype in her. In the meantime, blessing and not reacting against her father's reaction would be way more healing for her defensive self, if that makes sense.
So the same advice for both of us, really.
Yeah, really. And for you, you have a great deal of shame involved with him. Do you know that?
I'm not surprised. From this life or from many lives?
Many lives. Ancient, ancient lives, and there's been an enslavement as well. He was a real master in terms of slaves and women domination, you know that?
I'm not surprised.
And so,
I mean, he still scares me.
Yeah, and what's the biggest danger here is if you give your, like, because when I look, okay, if you give your tension the right to keep just building up around him, it costs you your own self and your own peace. You're better to recognize the tension and keep releasing it. And she's wise to keep moving past him, and so are you, because when you, first of all, you could do some shame work, okay? That's
okay.
Releasing shame. A. B, as you raise your frequency and fields, he will have a no impact on you in a short while. And for her, she's going to do exactly the same thing, but just like movies and other vicarious ways of living, she's going to start using a relationship that is going to deepen in her life. I think she's already in it, but it's going to get way deeper. And that's going to be the place that she drops in deeply enough to reformat her expectation and her loss of the male. She's going to reformat.
Okay.
And she's of the new order. So are you. But she's younger, so they get to springboard faster than we did, eh, Deb?
Good.
And,
I mean, we want him to.
Yes, she's an ancient being who's also of the new order, and when she moves, she'll move really fast. And it'll be like she can't remember being tied by him at all, you see.
Good.
And so I feel really, really that she's such a good example of these young, ancient modern beings that bring in the witchery, if you will, of knowing how to move past the status quo in a very creative way. And she's going to do that from the deepest part of her soul on out. But it's going to be when she's like about 28, 30, somewhere in there, that she's really good at it.
Good.
And so the thing for you is to remember that being defensive about him isn't going to help you very much. To keep releasing your defenses and releasing your shame, which you and I know isn't relevant right now but comes up anyway, is going to rise your frequency, and you're going to find yourself moving on, and you won't be so obsessed by him. When he comes up, you get really like, meh. So she's got the power, and you've got the power, okay? And in both cases, both times, you both got away from him in the past.
Mm.
So we already know you have the power, but it's the entrails of those experiences that are still hooked in. The other thing, Jackie's the woman I do the show with on Thursday nights, she and I were talking about over the last week or so, is how interesting it is that this time on the planet, we're kind of reformatting the male archetype. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's...
For all of us. You mean for all of us. It's women too, you mean, right?
Women and men, for all of us inside, that's reformatting. And it has to, because the patriarchy has to dissemble anyway. It's doing that anyhow. And most of the conscious men that I know really want out of the patriarchy and all of that role modeling, you know? So I'm fascinated inside of people's body-mind, their energy bodies, that there's a ripping up of the male of the species in a sense. Not the men, the male archetype.
Right. So is part of what you're saying for me on this specific issue to surrender it, obviously. I've done a lot of surrendering to this. But also to basically, this must be really important because I keep blocking what you just said. To send him light. You know, it's one of those things where Eckhart Tolle sometimes said, say surrender even if you don't feel like you can surrender.
Right.
You know, what comes up in me around him is my own anger at the way he treated me, but much bigger than that, what looms over me is watching him vicariously still do this to her. And, you know, when anybody goes after your child, it just brings up everything.
Brings up our adrenaline, doesn't
it?
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But one thing about your child, your child is going to rise like a really powerful light. And talk about the new archetype. She's very much involved in recreating that archetype. And you and I know that it's too mystical, magical for it to make logical sense.
Okay.
But one of the things that we go back to is blessing him, because this is old soul stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. And if we bless them and so on, it doesn't attach the same way. We don't have the same reactive vehemence, do we? And the reactive vehemence is not great for your little body. It hurts, actually, right?
Yes.
So you're better to roll into it, surrender into it, and bless the heck out of him, because whatever his journey is, he's on it.
All right. Thank you.
Hard work, isn't it?
What?
I'm glad that you were listening and that you called in, so thank you for your participation.
Oh, I love this show. Thank you. I will talk to you soon.
Okay, Deb, bless your heart.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. It is hard, isn't it, when someone is threatening to turn and, oh, goody, but I just want to finish this thought, to turn and bless them. But the things I've been listening to lately, whether it was from my guides or Aravinda or things I've read about Kriyananda, others as well, still, it's the greatest power when we can, oh, and even the peaceful warrior, you know, where he gets attacked and they steal from him, so he gives them his jacket and he says, oh, wait a minute, my shoes are really good, don't you want those too? It's like handing it back over to them, releasing our defenses, and we do pop up, our consciousness expands, and that becomes our ultimate protector. So you're on the air and I'm glad. Hi. Hello? Oh, is nobody there? All right, so one of the things that... What? There's an echo in here. Hello? Okay, so one of the things I was talking about, just as Deb called, was what the guides were talking about is truth. And as things evolve, the word truth changes. And that one of the biggest indications of what real things are, like, because defending doesn't bring you to the truth of self, really. everything that really helps us to cultivate the divinity within and the divine of our path and our soul's purpose is expanding. So the guides are even saying how interesting it is that people want their purpose. They want to know what their purpose is. But the irony of that is that if you frame your purpose as I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, I'm an entertainer, I'm an inventor, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, something like that, then you've got your identity box there, don't you? And in that identity box, there isn't all that much expansion. So it's really interesting that they say that the things that are part of our purpose are, for example, always, let's see, if we were going to do healing, for example, you can be a doctor, you can be a nurse, you can be a psychologist, but always, always, it is into your purpose more and more if you can let it roll through you and expand. That means you stop and you listen to the inner promptings and then you expand on those veins. So that you unfold. And it's the evolution of this time. Are we talking about 2012? How the energies on the planet are going up another 20 times before 2012, which means our hair will be standing on end. I hope mine will curl. We'll see. But anyway, as things change, how can we be framed and hold an identity really tightly? Because we have to then defend it. And when you say hold or you say defend, and there's a contraction energy there, and your radiance also gets contracted, and you want to create the reality you want to create, which is an ever-expanding, loving reality that is a win-win for all kinds of people. That's not a contracting possibility, is it? That's an expanding possibility. So call in. I don't know who it was that hung up, but I'm going okay. Let's see here. So the reality is, you know, Aravinda, some of you heard his interviews, and I love those, and he talked about Dharma, which is your journey and your purpose and what it is you're trying to learn in this lifetime, and Dharmi, which is the purpose of the collective in this time. Okay, so now the collective, which is a mass consciousness, it's what we kind of breathe and inhale, has its own, what, divine light. Doesn't seem like it sometimes. Sometimes it seems like it's really weighing us down, doesn't it? And the whole collective has based its reality on defensiveness for a long, long, long time. Think about it. We've had to defend, I mean, even now, how many things about war, which are to defend economic strongholds in this part or the other. There's so many reasons why we're defensive when we're taught to be defensive all the time, aren't we? Now take a look at it, but something in the Dharmi of this collective right now is saying, that's not going to work anymore. Suddenly we have a toxic planet, we have an awareness and illumination of the oligarchy, if you want, an awareness and illumination of the domination of many by a few. We have an awareness and an illumination of the deceptions by the powers that be. We have an awakening in ourselves that we, who have accepted certain limitations, are now being encouraged to release these limitations. Isn't it fascinating? So this is the time in history when a lot of us are just becoming aware of this. It's very exciting. So I want you to drop inside right now and call in if you can. We have time for two more callers, as long as you have short questions. But I want you to drop in, and I want to say, let's see. Let's talk about love. Okay, love is that amazing, amazing attribute that we all adore and we sing about and we pray about and we apply to peanut butter and we apply to clothing and we apply to cars and we apply to one another. Let's drop into our bodies and find out how I feel, you, I mean, about love right now. What is love? What is love? And now apply that word to your significant other, if you have one, your children, okay, your government. And I want you to start watching and seeing if you have any defensive tactics in there. Do you have any tactics around your love? What are some of the what would we say? What are some of the drives in our love? What does love really mean under those circumstances? Take a look at loving your home. Okay. Is there a defense in that? Take a look at loving your partner or your friends if you don't have a partner. Is there any defense in that? Is there any way that you hedge around? Okay, let's just stop there for a minute. Now I want you to drop inside and get the sense of, around your partner or around a really good friend, feel your grasping or holding and defending your right to have that friendship, defending your position. Just feel what that's like. Just feel it. You see yourself hanging on for dear life, because that's essentially what a lot of us do. Or however you find your defense in that. Just feel it. And where is it in your body? Okay? Notice where it is in your body. And just observe it. Observe it. Yeah, now what happens when you observe it? Does it release? Did you get a tension? I got a really funny tension in my upper arm, especially on the right, and on my upper thighs on the front. I'm going, oh, I have to further investigate that. You know, you don't have to be right here, you guys. This is not about being absolutely the best in the class for this, because that's another defense of your identity, isn't it? It's just about becoming aware of how we hide defensiveness in our body. And Deb's right. There are things that you want to protect people from, and it's really important, and we want to defend our children. We really do, and we have to. However, calling up these things, oh, goody, I've got a call. Just finish this. Calling up these things and letting them soften is going to help your consciousness be a greater defense. Maybe you still have to take action, but I promise you, you'll evolve more. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Veronica. My name is Bert. I'm calling from the East Coast. Yes, hi. You know what? I love your show because of you. You have a very eloquent way of talking. Your poetry on air. Voices.
Thank you.
You were probably an editor of some sort in a previous life. But it's because I'm in that business. And you have quite a way of expressing yourself.
Well,
that's just what I wanted to say for a long time to you. And this is this first time I caught your show.
Well, bless your heart. Welcome.
Now, I wanted to talk to you because it sounds cliche, but I have been going through some pretty intense times. And recently, I have difficulty with being around people, and it's not unusual, but it's hard. I work in a corporate environment. I'm in the magazine world, and I'm very. It's hard to explain, but I sort of feel people's motives, and you can only tolerate it so much sometimes, and put on a smile.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on some very heavy duty medication that. It's Klonopin. It numbs me, and it's getting addictive. I need to be able to have. I don't know what it is, but I need a little assistance. I don't find people with my feelings, my drives, my desires, my spirituality. And I come from a background of very high magic, and I stop because. I'm more interested in the stellar magic. I don't know, because you mentioned witch and witchcraft. I wouldn't say witch, I would say more warlock. I studied a German warlock's material, Franz Bardon. He was a white magician.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very familiar in that territory, and I left it. Now it's very, I've worked with the team to clean up. And I'm had a lot of experiences where I've been through stargates and I've been on craft. But when I come back on this earth plane, it's hard to live here, Veronica. it's very, very hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to, saying this on air, I just like to sleep forever.
I know, and you know something that's true, that you won't actually sleep forever. I don't think that's possible, right?
Well, it's just a metaphor for leaving the earth plane.
I know, darling. But I just wanted to remind you. But one of the things about you, first of all, you're an amazing being. Do you know that?
Thank you. You are too.
Thank you so much. Maybe we're all on the same team. One of the things I see in you is a really powerful, powerful, how can I put this? It's like a mystical awakening that's coming up in you. And in that, your ability to not only perceive other people's motivation, but the ability to reach out with your light and actually present what it is you know and cultivate and teach them is going to rise in you. I don't think in that particular corporate structure, but I see you moving out of that and going into another environment where you're actually going to be the teacher. And I think that's going to happen because it's coming through you, not because you have to run around and take 14 seminars, you know? Got to get yourself off that drug because it's doing something funny to your pituitary, I think.
I know, Veronica. I've been trying to get off on it. I've been on and off for a while, but when I spend a whole day, like today, with the corporate personalities, I come back, I'm very depressed. And
But you're absorbing them. You're not just understanding them. You're actually absorbing them. Do you know that?
I think so. I don't know. I do know defensive techniques. I know about the platinum light tunnel, but sometimes I just don't use it, and maybe I would say, okay, you created your own reality because you don't use the platinum light tunnel, and maybe I have to be very conscious of doing that.
You're judging yourself, you know.
Do you know the funny thing, Veronica, is when I was practicing Warlock, it was easier for me to have great protection. Because I understand the spirits, but, you know, it's not the route to take right now because it's old magic and it's, and entities are very fickle.
I want to say this, that you're coming to a time where you're going to be pushed to put, you see, who's needed? It's all hands on deck. You've got a specific kind of knowledge about the fact that I think of the collective as being kind of like tent caterpillars. Have you ever seen them?
Tent caterpillars? No.
Yes. Oh, well, out here on the West Coast, they kind of grow these amazing tent-like structures, and there's bazillions of caterpillars in them, so one moves and everything shifts a tiny bit, you know? So I think of the collective as being like that. Don't worry about it. Look it up if you want to. But what I see is that you're coming into a time where what's going to burst up through you is this really strong light, and that because you're going to be called to service, and you're going to have your own clientele. You might have some support, and you work with a team sometimes. It's like that. You have some support coming to you from several different directions, but you're going to be working with people, and you're going to be no nonsense. You're going to be helping them cultivate discipline and really moving through because it's really needed right now. But the reason you're going to do it is because it's going to rise in you. It's like this purple light that's trying to rise in you, and it's pushing on your chest as we talk, and it's going to awaken something in your throat and your brain. Now, even if you stayed on that drug, you can still do it. The only thing about the drug is it starts to thwart a function in your brain, which we don't encourage for you, you know. I'm not judging it. But I wouldn't say going into the Warlock thing is taking you back in time. I would say you're evolving into a new way of bringing a frequency message to the masses. And your own higher guidance is really working with you right now. And I see strings of support. Maybe we're included in that. Unfortunately, I have to say goodbye right now because they'll pull me off stage here with a big hook.
Oh, no, the short time we spent together, you know, you gave me a lot of love. you gave me a lot of hope, and I can really feel it. It's so wonderful talking to you finally like this. It's like one to one.
And I'm very honored by your call. So you take care, and I'll be looking forward to seeing your light flaring out there.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you, Bert. This is Veronica Entwistle. You've been participating in Radiance by Design. We're developing a spiritual conscious community, and if you can stay tuned to Paradigm Shifters, you'll meet Asha Praver, who wrote a book about Kriyananda, Swami Kriyananda, and the evolution of his service in the world, his service of consciousness. He's a follower of Yogananda and his development of conscious communities that are more grounded, based on buildings and shops and all of that. Next week we're going to have on Paradigm Shifters, we're going to have Linda Sherman, and I think we're going to do more about identity and defensiveness and moving with the collective next week on Radiance. Thursday night I'm on with Jackie Salvitti and the team, and I'm loving that show more all the time. It's on at 8 p.m., and I say to you, let's all reach up with our hearts and grab some love, universal love that's flowing through us undefensively, undefendedly. Ship it through your hearts and send it back out. Take some, breathe it in, and pass it on. Many blessings to all of you, and thank you for calling in. And thank you for listening. Bye.